How many of you can really say, once you've got to know Jesus Christ, that it's not been worth it? Tell me that you can say that. I'm going to tell you what, I could never say that. I've known Him since 1974, and I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want it any other way. No, I've never been what I should be all the time. God has corrected me on a lot of different things, but praise God, this morning I'll tell you what, I wouldn't change a single thing that's happened down through the years, because He's been with me. He's been with me right there through it all. Praise God. I love Him this morning. I love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with all my heart. I really do. I'm going to be over in Micah, the 6th chapter. I'm going to read the first verse down to the 8th verse. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the day God sued His people. Did you get that? I want to talk to you today about the day that God sued His people, and why that He did it, and how that He did it. And I want you to understand this morning, brothers and sisters, that you know what? What happened back then, and I'll tell you what, God is on the bright. I can see God looking down today, looking down at this country, looking down at His people today, and saying the same things to them also. He's looking down there and looking at Micah, the 6th chapter begins with the 1st verse. Hear ye now what the Lord saith, arise and contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundation in the earth, for the Lord has controversy with His people, and He will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee, and wherein have I wearied thee, testify against me? For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of the servants, and I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now the Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered from Shittim unto Gilgal, and ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has answered thee, O man, what is good and what doeth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come, Lord, thanking You for the opportunity again to be in Your house. I want to praise You, Lord, this morning for Your love. I want to praise You, Lord, for all that You give us, Lord. I ask You, Father, now to open up hearts here this morning. I pray that You would get me out of the way, Lord. I pray, Father, that what is preached here this morning, what is done here this morning, would be totally for the upbuilding of Your kingdom and for Your glory, Lord. We want to praise You. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. And amen. God's people here believed that they had not been treated fairly. God's people here, I still want to believe that He was requiring too much of them. That's what some of them were believing at this time. Some engaged in exploitation, and others in also manipulation of those that were naive and those that were strangers among them. This is what the God's chosen people were doing at this time. This is what they were doing, and they were accusing God of being too hard on them. You understand this, what they're trying to say here? And some pursued get rich schemes, and at the expense of others, God had had enough. He had enough with dealing with this people and the way that they were doing it. And you know what? And against this people in verses 1 and 2, I'm going to go back over and read this again. And it says there in verses 1 and 2, and it said, and hear ye now what the Lord saith, arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a controversy with His people, and He will plead with Israel. The judge of all creation, which was God, He was the plaintiff. And I want you to look at this as you're standing in a court of law. The God of all creation is the plaintiff. The mountains and the hills are the jury. Listen to this, what it's saying here. Israel is the defendant in this case. And brothers and sisters, Micah is going to be the attorney who's going to speak for God and give and plead God's case before this people. And God had had enough. He was ready to lay down the law and praise God. I want you to know something. When God's ready to do it, I want you to know people are going to listen. Something a little bit earlier we'll talk about here a little bit ago. We look through a glass darkly. Now, the Bible tells us that. We look through a glass darkly. We want to talk about God's power. We want to talk about what God can do. There isn't a one of us that doesn't look through a glass darkly. We have the Word of God. I'm going to tell you what, if we could pull back the veil on what God has covered over and see the awesome power that God has for every one of us, to see what God can do for all of us, I'll tell you what, we would fall on our faces in amazement at what our God can do. We live in a country today, I've said it before, that is spoiled beyond measure. We have things, you know what, you may not think of it, but you don't have to go too far in this country to know what I'm talking about. Praise God, we live in a country that's spoiled. How can God bless us when we think we know it all? How can His power be totally revealed to any of us? How can it be? When we think that we have it all, and you know what, we've got it in the palm of our hands, and we say this and that and tell you that, you know what, God, in the way we say it, we may not say it out loud, but in our hearts we say it, God, we do not need you. We can take care of things ourselves. Oh, how wrong we are. How wrong we are. You want to see the true power of God? You want to see the healing power of God, the power of God that saves the very least among us, the very wicked among us. That's the power. I'll tell you what, get on your faces and accept what God has for you. Repent totally and watch God work in people's lives. I want you to know God can work. He can work. I'll tell you, I've said this and I believe this. A preacher said this many years before me. He said, there's never been a man that's known the true power of God because we've never got close enough to find it yet. We haven't. We haven't. We know the saving grace of God, but there's so much more. There's so much more to it. You may ask, why does God need a lawyer? Why does God need a lawyer? Is He incapable? Is God impoverished? Is God ignorant or arrogant? Absolutely not. The God that we serve did this because when He's talking to these people right here, He wanted an advocate. And that advocate was Micah at that time. And I want you to know something, brothers and sisters. We have an advocate with God today. That advocate is Jesus Christ. And we'll get into more of it here after a while. We'll get on into the scripture and into the sermon. But praise God, they needed an advocate. Micah was sent to be that advocate to try to get these people to understand what they were trying to do, what they were doing here. They needed a redemptive advocate, one to reveal the fact, to speak the truth, and one to display what the proof was. It was a trial. It was a trial of covenant forgiveness. Forgetfulness is what they had done. This was what the trial was about. God had set it before them. God had delivered them. Listen to what it says there. And he went down and said, for I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of the servants. I set before thee Moses and Aaron and Miriam. All my people, remember how the Balak king of Moab consulted and what Balaam the son of Beor answered from Shittim to Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. God is making His case, brothers and sisters, to these people. He's making it. He's trying to tell them. He said, listen, all that I have done for you, everything that I've done, and I want you to know, listen to what you've done. You've turned your back on me. How many times do we have to go back into the Old Testament and see, after time, God delivered them. God brought them and set them up. And then after it was said and done, they turned their backs on Him again, time after time after time. God had had enough. He had enough of it. And He said, let's just take and put the evidence against you and see where we stand. I want you to know something. God does the same thing for us today, does He not? God's telling us, listen to what I have really done for you. anyone in here this morning, in the sound of my voice, that has been saved, God has done a miraculous work in your life this morning. He's done something beyond anything that anybody could ever do for you. Nothing could he do. I tell you, when I got saved and the burdens that were lifted off my heart, I want you to know something. There was no way, no man, my mom, my dad, no one could ever do what Jesus Christ did for me that night that he saved me. Nothing. I want you to know that this morning. If you're sitting here this morning and you're in the sound of my voice and you're telling to yourself, you know what? I feel so burdened down. I feel like this world is not worth living, or maybe this world is not even worth getting into. I want you to know something. God sent His Son to take care of that in your life. The burdens that were lifted off of me that night, I can't even go into it and explain to you everything that was lifted off of that 16-year-old boy that night. I can't even comprehend to try to tell you. But I know when I was changed. I know that Jesus Christ lifted the burden. And listen to me. And God told these people, He said, listen to me. I delivered you. I took care of you. And what have you done? And I want you to know something. If God has delivered you here this morning, I want you to know something this morning, that you are one of His. Praise God, you are second to none. Second to none. You serve the true and the living God who thought enough of mankind to send His only Son down here to die upon a cross, that you and I could go and be with Him for just a little while. No, my Bible tells me eternity. That's what it tells me. I want you to know it was a trial about covenant faithfulness, and God had delivered. God's redemption was more than enough. Listen to what Psalms 137 says. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, with Him is plenteous redemption. You may be sitting back there this morning thinking that God cannot take care of the burdens of your life. My Bible tells me He is more than able. He is more than able to save you to the uttermost. That's what the Scripture tells us. He doesn't just do a little bit of work in your life. He just doesn't take a little bit out of you. I want you to know, if you come and give it to Him and you say, God, forgive me, I want you to know He will save you. He'll take all the burdens out of your life. He'll set your feet upon a solid rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. I want you to know, God is presenting a very compelling case here. His lawyer lays it all out. The jury is listening intently. The mountains and the hills. I want you to know something. This earth is alive. This earth lives. The creation that my God created, the hills, the mountains, the trees, they live. They live. The Bible tells me that if we will not praise Him, He says that the rocks will cry out to Him. So you tell me that this earth does not live. This earth lives. It talks to us. It tries to tell us. This earth lives, praise God, this morning. And I'll tell you what, they are the best joy that anybody could ever have. Are they not? They are. It's what it says. And it says, and the joy is listening to it. And Micah tells it out, like I told you in verse 4 and 5. And there we say, and they tell their side and ask God, God Almighty, what do you want from me? This is what the children of Israel tell. This is what it says there. Wherefore shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? This is how the children of Israel answered Him. This is how the defendant answered back. In a sarcastic way, saying, God, what more do you want me to do? What more do you want me to do? Oh yeah, I know you take care of all this in my life. You know what? I see people doing that today. You know what? God, I go to church. God, I pay my tithes. God, I do this. God, I do that. And go on and on and on with it. But yet, you know what? They think that God should just answer, be it every little bit of their whim. God should answer every prayer to its full, right where it should be. That's how that they treat God. And that's no different than the way the children of Israel are treating Him right here. No different whatsoever. He said, wherefore shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Should I go to church and bow down and pray? Should I have to do that, God? I can talk to you fine just right out here. This is their attitude. I'm telling you, this is what their sarcastic little attitude was. Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings and calves of a year? Shall I do that? Hey, God, I'm making an offering. I'm going to church. I'm getting up. God, I'm getting up. I'm getting dressed. Look at me. I'm getting in my car, God. I'm going to church. Now, God, I want you to bless me. I want you to bless me abundantly. I want you to give me $10,000. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. And that's how we do things with God. You don't think that's any different than what the children of Israel are doing right there? It is not. It is not no different whatsoever, shape, or form. I want you to know God is making a case against us today. And I want you to know we better be ready and we better be prepared to whatever it comes against us, because I want you to know He's doing it day by day. This country, I told you, I'm telling you, it's coming against this country. It's coming. I'm not trying to use scare tactics against anybody. The Bible already tells me that it's going to wax worse and worse. Worse and worse. It's not going to get any better. It's not. There may be little times and little snippets, and you've seen it down through your life, where people will say things, oh, it's getting a little better now than what happens. It gets worse. It gets worse. It's going to get worse. And I want you to know we better be prepared. God's making His case against this country. And I want you to know we're not standing up very good to it. We're not standing up very good to it. I go to church. I do my jobs in the church. Matter of fact, I've got all kind of jobs in the church, God. Why aren't you blessing me for that? Why don't you just bless me? At this time, we're just going through the motions, folks. There's a lot of people that are in churches today. Oh, you can say, oh man, amen, or oh my. They're just going through the motions of coming to church. Am I right? I'm going to church because mama wanted me to come to church. I'm going to church because I want people to think of me better than what, I want them to think good of me. That's why I'm going to church. Listen to me. You should go to church because you want to serve the true and the living God. The children of Israel were saying that right here. And he said, will the Lord be pleased with 10,000 rams? Or with 10,000 rivers of water? And this is the one that gets me. They even went to the point of absurdity. Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions? Shall I do that? God, will that please you if I give my firstborn? Will that please you, God? And that's the sarcastic attitude they were. You know what? We do the same thing today. We do it today in our own little self-righteous ways. We do it. Like I told you, God, I'm on my way to church. God, I'm working at church for you. I'm doing everything that you want for me. And God, you know what? Look at me. I'm this big Christian. Look at me. Look at me. It's like we should wear a Christian right across our shirt right here all the time. And that's it. You know what? The best Bible that anybody will ever read is how you act when you're out of this church. It's not how you're in. Amen. Amen. You can see the formalism all over. Look at Hosea 6:6. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. God doesn't want a whole lot out of us except for us to be. Now I'll get into exactly what He wants. Thus we can see clearly why God had a controversy with His people. We can see it. Do you think this kind of thing is permeating the churches today? I do. I really do. Yes, the church is absolutely positively. We live in an entitled society, folks. And the entitlement has made its way into the church. Well, teachers, I know we have some teachers in here that are at school, and they can tell you this. I work with a guy at work, and his wife is a teacher. I haven't talked to anybody, any of the teachers in here about this, but I can tell you, they deal with children all the time, and children are honest. Amen? Children are deadpan honest. They are. They'll tell you just exactly. And I'll tell you what, if you want to see the entitlement that some of these people have, and just listen to what children say sometimes. And I'll tell you, it goes on. Look at Revelation chapter 2 and 3. And then you talk about God has a controversy with the churches today. Look at Revelation chapter 2 and 3. The church of Ephesus It was an active church, sound in doctrine, but deficient in love. That's what the church of Ephesus was. And I'm not going to read every one of them, but you can look at them here later. That's what they, and you think God doesn't have a controversy with his people today? He does. And these churches were back then, and I know that back then, but I think they also apply to the churches today. The church of Samaria, the poor but rich church. Church didn't have much money, but you know what? They were rich in the love of God. Pergamos, where false doctrine was abounded of all sorts. What about in today's church world? What about Scientology? What about the Mormonism? What about all the false teachings that sometimes they come along and they try to incorporate themselves in with Christianity? What about those? And you don't think it's not happening today? The church of Pergamos is very much out there. It's very much out there. Thyreathis, false prophetess Jezebel, and how that she, all the stuff that she did, all the false prophets, and I want you to know there's false prophets out here today in our churches today that are taking our churches down different roads, and I want you to know people are following them wholeheartedly down these roads. They're following them. And it's Sardis. It was the dying church, and this is the one right here that really, really upsets me when you get to reading about it. Read about the dying church. Read what it's all about and how that the, you know what? People just go. They just sit there. There's no spirit moving. There's nothing going on in these churches today. And you cannot tell me, if you look around the land that we're in today, you can see it no matter where you go. Why? And I say this and I keep saying this, but it is the truth. Why, if you cannot feel the Spirit of God, would anybody want to go there and just sit there and not feel the Spirit of God, not hear and not understand what God has for you to do? Do you think God would like to sue his people today? I believe he really would. I believe he's wanted his money back on us a long time ago. He's wanted his money back on us a long time ago for what we did. Go back to the trial in verse 8. Look what it says. And he has showed thee, O man, what is good and what doeth the Lord require thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. This is what he's trying to tell his people that he wanted out of him. He's what he wanted. He wanted them to act justly, defend those who were weak. God wanted them and us today to be a people of fairness and of integrity. That's all he wants out of us, is to be fair and integrity. We have become a nation of Enrons. Have we not? You know what Enron was. Remember the investment company and all the deal, all the people that lost the money? We have become a nation of that. It may be on a smaller scale sometimes with our neighbors and with our friends. And you don't think it hasn't got to the churches yet? Remember a few years ago, the 700 Club? All the money that was taken out of that deal and what all happened there? Oh, yes. There's so many things that happened in this world. Justice was rightness rooted in God's, listen to this. Justice is righteousness rooted in God's character. That's what true righteousness is. It is not being pious in our appearance. We don't have to be pious. But being godly in action toward the weak and the strangers. That's what God wants us to be. We are all one time strangers in this land. You don't think so? Let's go and read Ephesians 2, 8 through 13. It says, therefore, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are the workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised, and by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in this world. When before we are saved, we are strangers, we are desolate. I'll tell you what, God sent his Son, and when Jesus Christ came, we were able to be called sons of God, were we not? Praise God, we were able to do that, because everyone. So we are strangers. God, what God wants us to understand is, since we were strangers, and since Jesus Christ came and he took us in, We have to remember we have to treat people fairly because of that also. Listen, there's examples of it all through the Bible. Remember the woman caught in adultery. What did Jesus do there? He said that he had compassion on her. They wanted to stone her, but Jesus had compassion on her. The ultimate depth of God's mercy was the thief on the cross. The ultimate depth of God's mercy for us was the thief on the cross. Remember that? And you all, I know you all do, and it's one of the great things ever. It's the thief on the cross. When he was dying on the cross, Jesus Christ told him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." That was the ultimate act of mercy because we have such a merciful God. We have such a merciful God. Matthew 5 said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." He's talking to us there. 1 Peter 3:8, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." With mercy, God has shown us in Jesus. We should show mercy to each other. We should do that. We should have, number three, walk humbly with your God. We should walk humbly. God expects us to have a right relationship with Him. That's what God wants us to do. Relationships should not always begin with humility. Ephesians 2:8, 9, again, back on that, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourself, but as a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We have nothing to boast about. Our humility should shine through, it should be all in God, should be all in Jesus Christ. It should be. We may tend to think God's role is to make us happy. God's role is not to make us, that's not His role, is to not make us happy. Do we get that? His role is not in this, is not preparing us, just to make us happy. Praise God that I'll tell you to serve Him. Our role is to serve Him and to praise Him. Praise God. Why do you think Jesus had so much controversy with all the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Why do you think that? Because, you know what? They were not humble. They were not humble. Remember, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God one of these days. Revelation 20:12 tells us that. I'm going to read that and I'll be done. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those books, out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Brothers and sisters, I tell you what, we will all stand before God one of these days. We're going to give an account for what we've done, for what we've said. You know what? Just like with the people over here in Israel, we're going to stand as a judge before God. Jesus Christ is the only one through His blood to cover the sins that we put in this world. The only one. So let's remember that this morning. And I pray and hope that you have it all taken care of this morning. If they come and get a song.